all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made them while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I read what the lectionary reading was for today, I was so excited to see the story of Tabitha. The lectionary, as some of you may know, cycles through 3 years of the same readings on the same Sundays within that cycle. So we are in year C now, and every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we hear the story of Tabitha. But every fourth Sunday of Easter is not Mother's Day. This year, Easter was awfully late in the calendar, so here we are hearing about a woman being brought back to life on Mother's Day. Even more powerful to me about Tabitha's story is that it does not tell us in the text that Tabitha had any children. But it is clear that she was a mother to many in her community. Motherhood and our relationships with our mothers can be complicated sometimes, even in the best relationships. But as I have in a note card in my office that was written by my son Ian, the definition of a mother is a person or an animal that takes care of you. That's what it is, right? So Tabitha was a mother to the widows and probably others in her community. She was devoted to acts of charity, and she was devoted to caring for people. So when she died, the community was heartbroken. Then Peter comes and restores Tabitha's life, and everybody rejoices. This is a beautiful story of a miracle of healing. There's really not much to the story, is there? This story ends at ninth chapter of Acts. The beginning of this chapter is the conversion of Saul to Paul, the Damascus Road experience. Then we shift to Peter. In the verses directly before these, Peter heals a man, Aeneas. Aeneas was not dead. He was paralyzed and had been confined to his bed for 8 years. Peter says to him, "Get up." And up he goes, walking and restored to health. Peter says the same words to Tabitha in our scripture today, but her getting up is a little bit more astounding because she was dead. I always wonder about the healing and resurrection stories that are included in scripture. Why these people? We can use logic to assume that there were lots of other people in the culture who were sick and paralyzed and even dead, who did not receive the physical healing that these people did. Why them? I wonder if the people walking around were wondering the same question. But we don't have the crowd commentary, so we can't answer that question. But we do know that Jesus and his disciples healed certain people, and their stories are recorded for us. So that leads me to wonder, what does this story teach us? Tabitha, or Dorcas as she is called, is the only person in the New Testament specifically designated as a female disciple. As scholar Gary Charles says, for Luke, the assumed writer of Acts, a disciple is a person, male or female, who follows Jesus out of the waters of baptism into a life of healing, reconciliation, confrontation with those holding religious and political power, and love. The character of Dorcas's discipleship is one of provision and compassion, tending to the needs of the neediest around her. In the public square, she confronts the prevailing patriarchal understanding of discipleship by modeling discipleship not defined by gender. Tabitha was living her life caring for those in need around her and loving them. So her death was a gaping hole in this community. Peter comes to the community, sees their grief, and is moved to heal Tabitha. Not just raise her from the dead, but restore her to the fullness of life. There's no indication that the community even asked Peter to do this. And maybe that's why her resurrection is so powerful. And as the scripture tells us, many believed in the Lord. Tabitha's healing was a healing of her community. It is hope to the widows and all the other people who were recipients of her acts of charity and love. It's a reminder to those who feel unseen that they are in fact seen and loved by God. And it is a call to action. Peter says to Tabitha, get up. Professor of religious study Jennifer Collins says, anathesi is the same command that Peter had given Ananias and Lydia. Arise, get up, stand up. This verb in sum of form is found over 100 times in the New Testament. Peter's command to this dead woman is really not different from the statement we hear or say on a daily basis. Wake up, stand up. This command to get up or wake up is associated with both action and belief. It should be noted that these are in fact imperatives. Peter does not ask or beg Tabitha to please get up. She's not given a choice. She is told to arise and then taken out of her house for everyone to see. Miracles may be performed in secret, but they are not hidden away. They are publicly displayed. As a result, many come to believe. The implication of Tabitha's extended life is that she will continue to do what she has been doing. She will remain devoted to her good works. Tabitha's rising was belief for the community that witnessed it. Once they saw, they could not help but believe. And the action must follow. Peter's command to wake up, stand up, is not just for Tabitha or those living in the first century with her. And it's not just for those who are dead or paralyzed. It is for us. Tabitha's story is told so we can witness the power of God and also so we can respond to it. As Colin says, it is not simply enough to know. Once we become aware, it is imperative that we too act and improve the conditions of those who are suffering. Our actions can be the difference between life and death. Tabitha's work with the widows and the poor in her community is what testified to Peter, what moved him to call her awake. The witness of her resurrection is what calls her community of faith to action. Tabitha's love in action is what made her a disciple. We are all disciples. We have witnessed the power of resurrection in Jesus Christ, and we have the power to participate in the resurrection of hope in our communities and in the world. We know the world is suffering. We know people near us suffering. And so we must act. And we can't all drop everything and devote ourselves completely to the Lord, to the poor. But we can reorient our eyes to see other possibilities. Instead of feeling hopeless and like the world is in a Humpty Dumpty state, never to be put back together again, we can bring resurrection hope and life in how we respond to events and tell those stories in our communities. We can look with compassion at the people we see on the street corners rather than with fear or anger. We can listen to yet another story of a school shooting and begin or continue to have helpful conversations with our children about mental health and gun safety. We can research organizations like Everytown, which is working to end gun violence. These are examples of resurrection, hope, and life. We can continue to support organizations like Rise Against Hunger and hear that hunger is actually decreasing in the world because of the work that we do in Duntreath Hall. Resurrection, hope, and life. We can use our money in acts of charity. Some of you know that I really enjoy some fair trade products. I've been investigating and studying these organizations for a while. They're usually products that are made with sustainable materials and workers are paid a fair wage. I realized through these organizations that I could offer hope to people whose lives were troubled. And as I have continued to explore these companies, I'm amazed by the impact that they're making. At the rate in which the world's consumption is increasing, practices of ethical treatment and sustainability are becoming the norm. It used to be that most ethical brands made jewelry and novelties, chocolate and coffee, which they still do, and they're very good. But now they make shoes and bags and clothing. J. Crew, an incredibly popular retailer, now offers an ethical and sustainable clothing line that changes lives. And Athleta, part of the Gap Incorporation, is now a certified B Corporation, which holds companies to standards of sustainability and ethical treatment. Resurrection, hope, and life. Scripture tells us the story of Tabitha, just like these organizations tell us stories of who made our clothes, and Rise Against Hunger tells us stories of lives changed in another part of the world. And the stories have the power to shape our lives and hope restored in a community. All people who follow the command of Peter to wake up. When we do, we can speak to the resurrection power of Jesus, which is alive and active in the world right now, giving hope to the hopeless, power to the powerless, putting the world back together again, together as a community. How we live out this fully awake life has the potential to move mountains, to awaken others to new life in Christ that we are graciously granted.